Well, let me add my welcome to Liz's lovely welcome this morning. It is wonderful to be with you, and I hope you all enjoyed what has been termed Freedom Friday. Well, I can assure you that where I was last night, it was not just Freedom Friday, but Freedom Saturday, and it was still going strong at 4 a.m. this morning. So if I fall asleep, I really should have brought a soft toy for someone like maybe Locke on the sound desk if he's got a good throwing arm to pelt at me if I start to drift off. I apologise. I'm operating on a few hours sleep, so let's see how it goes. The beautiful thing is that the Holy Spirit works in ways that we can never imagine, and that He is faithful. Even when we are weak, He is made great through our weakness. Interestingly, as I was preparing for this, I was reading that passage in Acts that's describing this fellowship of believers, and I remembered very vividly the first day I came here at Ringwood Community Church. What I saw was people ranging in age from little babies through to people who had lived a little longer on the face of the earth. And one of the things that astonished me was I didn't notice the boundaries that I had expected. There were people of all ages mingling with one another, having conversations. And from looking at the body language, it appeared to me like there was this genuine love and care and relationship between all the people that were here. They seemed to really enjoy spending time together. Now, that's what I saw. And what I experienced was not too dissimilar. My experience was that when I came into this place, there were a whole lot of people who did more than just the, oh, hi, nice to see you kind of welcome. People spent time talking. They obviously really wanted to get to know who I was. And there was that sense of being welcomed at a level far greater than anything I'd experienced in a lot of places before. There was this genuine interest. And what I saw and what I experienced really impressed upon me that this is where I wanted to be. And it really encouraged me to come back and to commit to being a part of this fellowship here. We've been looking at this series on the non-negotiables of church life. And this is the overarching passage that we have for this series. And this picture that we see here of this community in Acts is just beautiful. It's people doing life together in Christian community, sharing a common faith, supporting one another, praising God openly. Clearly, those who were witness to this were impressed by what they saw, similarly to the way I was impressed when I first came here. They obviously liked what they saw, because it says there in verse 47 that they had the favour of the people, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Here is a Christian community that is living out their faith in such a way that it's impacting the world around them. And discipleship is a really big part of living in Christian community. Now, in this series, we've looked at a number of different, I suppose, topics that is designed to help us understand what it takes to be a part of a community like this and what we should be focusing on as a Christian community so that we can impact the world around us. So far, we've looked at evangelizing, sharing the good news that we have with those around us, exalting, giving glory to God. Evangelizing, sharing the good news, exalting, and finally encouraging one another through fellowship with one another. Today we're looking at edifying through discipleship. And I was, when I was thinking about that, one of the passages that really kept coming back to my mind was a passage in Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 to 20, known as the Great Commission. And I really saw the direct links between this passage in Acts and the passage in Matthew that we're looking at a bit more today. Now, I was very pleased that Liz talked about some definitions, Because that was one thing I thought when I first looked at this, I thought, well, what does it really mean by edifying? And what does it really mean by discipleship? I want to really get down to the nuts and bolts of that so that we could talk about that and be on the same page. And this is what I came up with. Edification was pretty straightforward. The dictionary said that it is a moral or intellectual improvement that comes from instruction or teaching. So that was fairly, you know, black and white. There weren't too many differences in the definitions. But when it came to discipleship, there were a few different varying definitions. And so what I've tried to do is take bits and pieces of different definitions and put them together. So discipleship in general is just being a follower of someone. But when we're talking about Christian discipleship, it's really about helping others grow closer to God and become more Christ-like. And this happens through the power of the Holy Spirit. And that power of the Holy Spirit is at work in both those who are doing the discipling and those who are being discipled. So anyhow, let's have a look at this great commission that Jesus has given us and the implication that this has on for us as his disciples. I've just taken verses 19 and the first part of verse 20 for us to look at more closely. And it says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And in this short verse and a half of scripture, we see three distinct things. There is this sense, going and making disciples of all nations. And that links back to the whole idea of evangelism and conversion. And I think back to Kirk Franklin's sermon right at the very beginning of this series. And if you haven't seen it, I encourage you, get onto the church's YouTube and check it out. In fact, check them all out. They were all very good. I've listened to them all twice. In Kirk Franklin's sermon, he talked about the fact that some people actually have a spiritual gift of evangelism, and that can become really evident in certain situations. But really, that doesn't take away from the fact that all of us have, I suppose, an opportunity to evangelize in our own ways. And I love that Kirk shared that story of his mum sprinkling seeds through the gift of hospitality she showed to others in their home. What a great reminder it is that we all have a part to play in this process. And the role that another person might play might be very different to the role that we would play, but neither is more important than the other. It goes on from this sense of evangelism to saying, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And here we're talking about a public declaration of faith. And finally, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And this is where we get to the whole idea of edification, this instruction for moral improvement. So when we look at, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, what does that really mean? A disciple in this context is really just a follower of Christ. And when you think about the whole process of discipleship and edifying through discipleship, there is a sense that it actually starts really early on in this process. And in some ways, there can be a sense of edifying others even before they become a Christian, getting alongside them and helping them to see your life can potentially be edifying and is part of this discipleship process. We heard about, like I said, referred to earlier, Kirk Franklin's story and his mum. But something that I found really interesting in this was this whole idea of going and making disciples of all nations. Now, when I heard this preached, often as a younger adult and as a child, many years ago, it was generally in the context of people going to serve God overseas in a missionary capacity. And that is generally how I'd interpreted it. But when I thought about it more, I started to think about this a little more differently. If we look at a passage earlier in Matthew, Matthew chapter 10, verses 5 and 6, I think, Jesus is commanding his disciples not to go and speak to the Gentiles and not to go into Samaria and teach them, but to actually focus their efforts on preaching to the people of Israel. So in effect, when we see this section of the Great Commission here, where he's talking about making disciples of all nations, he's really expanding the scope of their ministry. Instead of focusing on Israel, now I want you to go beyond those people. And isn't it a beautiful reminder of the covenant that God has with us, that the initial covenant that God made was with his people, Israel. But through Jesus, his covenant has been extended to all of us. And that's really emphasized here in this point, that now the freedom from sin that comes through knowing Jesus Christ and having him as our personal Saviour is available to us all. One thing that is really important is that we should make disciples wherever God has called us. For some, that will be in a missionary capacity overseas. But for others, it's just by the people we come across in our daily life. I can remember back probably a decade or more ago, we lived on this property, beautiful property, but the fences between the different neighbouring properties weren't the typical wooden fences that we see in suburbia. They were about waist high and they were wire mesh, sort of rectangular mesh. And I remember seeing Charlotte, my daughter, up the back corner of the block. And she was there with some children from one house. They climbed the fence into our backyard and they were up there with her. And there were some children from another block and children from another block. And they'd all congregated where the fences met at the back corner. And I thought, isn't that interesting? They're getting together frequently and they're playing, but they're not really doing anything. So I said to Charlotte one day when she came, I said, look, you know, it's great that you're playing with all of the kids. I think that's fantastic. I would welcome you inviting them. They can come and play in the trampoline if it's okay with their mum and dad. They can go and play in the cubby. Have them over, play, do something together. She goes, oh, mum, we're not playing. I'm telling them about how Jesus loves them. And even at that very young age, she probably would have been maybe 10. Back at that stage, she had this desire in her heart to go and make disciples where she was placed by God. And it was really lovely to see how some of those relationships really developed. And as some of those people actually explored faith a bit more, how Charlotte was able to play a role in that. So in a sense, we've really covered the who of discipleship. Well, all of us have a sense of responsibility if we're God's people to go and make disciples, and the who of who we disciple. Well, it's all nations. But what about the how? This is where it can get a bit more tricky. Well, I suppose if we look at the next part of this verse, it actually says, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Now, baptism is really a public declaration of a decision that a person has made to follow Christ. It's not necessary for salvation, but it is a sign that a person is really serious about this relationship and they want to unite themselves with God and grow in their faith. And it can be a bit tricky because we can seek to disciple someone, but the reality is it's up to that person to make the decision of whether to pursue that or not. And baptism is one of those things. Some people might choose to be baptized because that's what God has placed on our hearts as Christians. But we can't force that upon a person. It still is their choice. I would certainly encourage all Christians to take that step because I believe that really that is something that helps us grow closer to God. But like I said, whether a person does it or not, no matter how much we are enthusiastic and passionate in our discipling, that is their decision and we need to respect that. Baptism is a symbol of dying to our old self and being resurrected into a new life with Christ. And in that sense, it's something that is of value for everyone who calls himself a Christian. And the final part of the scripture that we looked at this morning, it says, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. So this is an extension of the how. And how we do that probably depends a little bit on the sort of person we are and the gifts God has given us, but also the people that we are discipling. In many ways, teaching and preaching a sermon can be discipling, but that's often not necessarily the most effective form of discipleship. Teaching can be both formal and informal. And when we want to see an example of discipleship, we can't really go far wrong if we look at the life of Jesus. One of the things that Jesus did is he lived it out. He was an example. It's really important for us to practice what we preach if we are seeking to disciple others. Jesus' life aligned perfectly with what he taught. There was no contradiction, there was no hypocrisy. And that's something that can be instrumental in actually turning people away from God. That if we're preaching one thing, but our life is reflecting something completely different, that's not going to be an effective method of discipleship. There needs to be an authentic relationship where we walk alongside someone, maybe literally, but certainly metaphorically. Anyone who is discipling another person is not going to get very far if their life does not live up to what they're saying. So just as we teach them to obey everything I've commanded you, we need to really reflect on our own lives and take time to consider how we are living. Are we being effective disciples? Are we being the sorts of disciples ourselves that can disciple others? When I came into this church, I observed lots of different things. So much encouragement for me. And it's really important for each of us to stop and have a look at our own lives and contemplate what other people would see looking at us. What do people see when they look at me? I'm not really a big person for social media. Anyone who knows me knows that I'm rarely on there. But if I was, I'd be really reflecting, what do people see through my Facebook posts? How does what I comment on social media reflect the love and the grace of God? Am I being a person who is using a very public forum like social media to edify? Or is it something that ends up tearing people down and causing division? Would I be like one of those believers in Acts that we heard about right at the start, where people are drawn to God through looking at my life? Or would they be turned off? So living it out is really, really important. Jesus had a lot of disciples. We often think of the 12 disciples, but if you read scripture, there were a lot of people following him. But Jesus very wisely only invested a lot of time and energy in those 12 that he kept close. And there were a few even within those 12 that he had closer still. And I think that's a really important thing for us to remember. If we are going to disciple a person intentionally through some sort of formal relationship, like a mentorship, then we need to recognise that we can't do that for a large number of people. There's a significant investment of time and energy into discipling someone effectively. This, and it's a commitment that's really difficult for us to give to more than a few people. Now, we have talked about the fact that there is formal discipleship programs where you might be partnered with a mentor, and the whole idea that it's living life. In a formal relationship, we often assume that it would be very one way, that the person doing the discipling would be investing into that person who is that newer disciple who is being mentored. But that's often not the case. I've had the privilege of mentoring a number of people at my work, and I will only ever do one person a year. And each year I find that I feel I've learned far more than I've actually felt I've given to that person I'm mentoring. And one thing that's beautiful about someone who is new to something is that sense of passion and excitement that is almost uncontainable. And sometimes as a more mature Christian, I might have a greater understanding of Scripture. I might not, but I might have a greater understanding of Scripture and who God is and the relationship He wants to have with us. But sometimes it's really easy to lose that sense of passion. And spending time with someone, mentoring them or discipling them, can be an amazing way to reignite that flame within. The other thing about it is that for us to actually teach someone else, we really have to do more than know it. We have to really understand it so that we're ready when questions come. And come they should. I love working with people who question me. Now, a lot of people don't like that. They find it very uncomfortable, but I love it because I understand that that actually helps me refine what I believe and what I think. And that's a really important and wonderful process to growing. The reality is that we never stop growing closer to God. We never stop being edified if we are seeking Him fully. It's a process that lasts for the entirety of our life, no matter what stage we're at. And one of the things that I love about this church is that while we do have wonderful direct teaching often coming from the front here, I say often because I can't assume that about myself, especially on 3 hours sleep, but so much is done through us actually living life together. And I think about my Connect group that I'm a part of here at church and the beautiful people that are a part of that. And, you know, when I think about them, there's some I know much more than others. There's some I don't know as well. But I think about them and I smile because these are the people that have done life with me. They have celebrated the highs and they have helped to carry me through the lows. And there is something beautiful about being a part of something like that where you can be authentic and vulnerable. You can show them the good, the bad, and the ugly, and that they'll love you regardless. It's a beautiful reflection of how God sees us and how God wants to relate to us. The other thing about being in a Connect group is that opportunity to ask questions and to get answers, but also to listen to questions and think through answers. Another thing that's fantastic about Connect Group is the sense of responsibility for discipleship in that kind of setting is shared amongst all the members. It doesn't just land with one person. It's something that we do together. And every time I think back to that passage about the fellowship of believers in Acts, that's what I think of, this whole idea of we're in this together. Let's encourage one another. Let's get alongside one another. Let's build each other up. Let's disciple one another. Let's learn from each other. Let's edify one another. Let's grow together closer to God. Now, I've only taken a small section of the passage that was read this morning. But one of the things that I love about it is that it doesn't just relate to this small section of Matthew. If we go right back to the very first chapter of Matthew in verse 23, it says, "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, And they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. So right back at the very beginning of Matthew, we're hearing about this Jesus who will be born, who is God with us. And Matthew concludes with this beautiful promise from God. And surely I will be with you always to the very end of the age. The task of discipling someone can feel overwhelming. I know, I often don't feel up to a task. I feel like I'm not enough. But I trust in God, and I know that even myself, I can be used by God through the power of the Holy Spirit in me to do things that are far beyond my own capabilities. And God promises to be with us every single day. As we go out and disciple people, as we are discipled ourselves, to not feel overwhelmed or feel like it's above us and that we're not up to the task. Because even if we're not up to the task, God is, and He is faithful. I want to just put this challenge to us this morning. I want to finish with this. Maybe you aren't a disciple or a follower of Jesus yet. You might have just come across this randomly on Facebook or YouTube and you're wondering what it's all about, really. If this is the case, I encourage you to find out more. Contact the church. Contact, if it's not this church, another church local to you. Connect yourself in and find out what it means to be a disciple of Jesus, to have that relationship with Him that provides us with that sense of love and forgiveness from all of the stuff we've done in life that has been wrong, all of that sin. And maybe that you are a disciple, but you've never actually taken that step of being baptized. That's actually a pretty important step in our faith journey. Like, if we want to be serious in our relationship with God, I would say that's a fairly significant step, that public declaration saying to everyone, this is who I am, this is who God is, and this is where we're going together. It may be that you're a part of this church, but you're not involved with a Connect group. I'd like to really encourage you to contact the church office here and ask to be a part of one. It is such an amazing blessing to be a part of a group of believers who can pray for one another, study scripture together, support one another during the tough times, and celebrate with one another the wonderful times. Get involved. You can be discipled and disciple others through that Connect group. And for all of the followers of Christ, all of His disciples, I leave you with this thought. Go and make disciples of all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And teach them to obey the commands that God has given us. And surely He will be with us, even to the end of the age. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your love for us. Thank You that we can have relationship with You and that we can do life with You. Thank You that we can have relationship with other people and that we can do life with them as well. Thank You that You place us in community for a very good reason. And I just pray that as we are discipled and as we disciple others, that we will actually grow closer to You and become more Christ-like. I pray for this church community here at Ringwood Community Church, that we will be a vibrant community who, when people from the outside look at us, they see something that is just so attractive because relationship with you is wonderful, that they are drawn to you because of what they see. I pray and I ask for you to empower us as we seek to evangelize, to exalt, to fellowship, to edify, to encourage one another. And I thank you, Lord, for your faithful promise that throughout all of life, you will be with us, even to the very end. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to have a song.